And we are back, 647 here in Lansing. Look, many of us love this great warm weather. We can't help but love it. But for those who suffer from allergies and asthma, it can actually bring with it a lot of triggers. Dr. Steve Apolisky is the author of the new book, Beating Asthma, Seven Simple Principles. He's been a practicing physician for over 30 years and knows all about this debilitating disorder. You can find him online at beatingasthma.com. Dr. Apolisky, thank you very much for joining us on WILS.
Hey, Michael. Thanks for having me. Appreciate the chance.
Now tell me, what kind of connection is there between allergies and asthma? Is there a direct correlation between these two?
There absolutely is. You know, allergies is a more general term. And allergies are one of the triggers that can make asthma worse. So allergies is just that, kind of an allergic reaction to something. Your body produces allergy antibodies to substances, let's say cat pollen or grass pollen that we're in the midst of right now. And when you come in contact with that stuff, you have a reaction, an allergic reaction. And that allergic reaction is one of the things that can trigger asthma.
Now,
so asthma is a lung disease. But I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask you, is it clear now to us why some children develop asthma and why many don't?
It's not really clear. I mean, it appears to be a combination, like many things, of, you know, a genetic predisposition and then certain environmental factors that will lead to developing the problem.
Now, with asthma, it begins to develop, and is it a lifetime disease? Does it sometimes kind of go away as someone becomes an adult?
Yeah, that's a good point, is that, you know, you see a lot of kids that have wheezing and, you know, coughing, and it's associated with infections, and they're rather young when that happens, maybe 2 years old. A good portion of those kids, by the time they're 6 or 8, it tends to leave, so it's not true asthma, you know, in that sense. But in a certain number of kids, they'll go on to have continued problems throughout their life, and it may wax and wane. You know, maybe it gets worse, you know, for a few years, and then it quiets down during adolescence, and then it comes back in adulthood in a lot of people.
Interesting. Now, is there any understanding of what are the factors for those that asthma seems to go away for? I mean, how is it that in some cases asthma seems to just disappear?
Right. I think, you know, asthma is this term for maybe, you know, multiple different disease processes that result in something that appears similar to this, you know, on appearance, you know, looking at it. But it may be different things. So the kids that have this problem associated just with infections when they're 2 years old, it's not, you know, what we might call true asthma. Okay, it's stimulated by infection. And so by the time they get a little bit older and their body matures, their immune system matures, they don't really have, you know, a persistent problem as they get older.
I see. Now, with asthma, basically what happens, the lungs constrict somehow? Is that what it is? And the person's not able to breathe?
Right, yeah, and you have the airways, which are basically living tubes in the lungs, and then they get tight, their muscles surround them that tighten up and make it harder to breathe. Mucus gets produced, that makes it harder to breathe. And then the lungs become inflamed, you know, just like if you've ever sprained an ankle or, you know, let's say had a cut or something that gets red and swollen and stiff. That's what happens in the lungs with asthma as a result of these triggers that they experience.
Now, when an attack comes about, obviously anyone growing up has seen some of their peers with these inhalers. I mean, does it always require some kind of a medical response to make an asthma attack go away, or can it actually just dissipate on its own?
You know, different things like, you know, exercise-induced asthma. Exercise is one of those things that can trigger an asthma attack. A lot of times when that happens, you know, the attack may come and be self-limited and then go away. But in the meantime, it stops the person from doing what they're doing. So, you know, the best chance is to use, or the best approach is to use some kind of medicine that prevents the problem from occurring, and then you don't have the issues then.
Is there evidence that asthma can be triggered by simple emotional or nervous reactions to something?
Yeah, you know, there is. You know, just like any chronic disease, Michael, you know that we know that our emotions play a role, and it doesn't mean that the disease is in our head. It just means that, you know, that brain that is attached to everything else, and when problems occur that cause stress, let's say, it can trigger problems with an underlying disease.
I'm talking to Dr. Steve Apolisky. He's the author of the new book, Beating Asthma, Seven Simple Principles. So what would you say is the key principle when it comes to beating asthma? And what do you mean exactly by beating asthma?
Right. You know, I'm careful to tell people, look, this doesn't mean curing asthma. I don't mean that we can cure asthma. 2012 is just not possible. But beating asthma is getting the best control over this illness that you can. So when you're doing that, you're back in control of your life. You're back in charge. You're not being run hither and yon, you know, to the emergency room and hospitalization, that sort of thing. You know, being troubled by sleepless nights, you know, from asthma. You're getting all that under control. That's beating asthma. So the best control you can.
What would you say is the key principle to doing this, though?
I got to tell you, I think, you know, in my mind, you know, Michael, as a physician, I think it's important to have a very good patient-physician relationship. I think that leads to all sorts of things, you know, that the person, you know, with the illness becomes educated. We help them understand that this is their illness. They take ownership of the illness. We can guide them in the correct medications to use in treating the illness, tell them kind of how to use them, when to use them, you know, and then when to seek help. So I think that's a key principle. I really do. I'm passionate about it. And, you know, in today's world, it seems like you walk into the doctor and some people won't even look at you and they've got their back to you whenever they're taking your history and they're writing out prescriptions before you have a chance to tell your story. I think that's right.
I do want to ask you, you say it's a combination of genetic and environmental factors. What is considered the primary environmental factor for someone developing asthma?
You know, it may be a combination of things like infection. So what a lot of kids, when they're younger, let's say under 2 years of age, develop a bronchial infection called bronchiolitis. And there's a virus that causes that called RSV. And that seems to turn some kind of a trigger on in the lungs. And those are the people that seem to develop asthma and persistent problems afterwards.
Actually, it's a virus that might be the root cause, then.
Absolutely. And I mean, there's no question, too, that air pollution can play a role. I mean, the air in America is cleaner than it was 40 years ago. But, you know, there's still hot spots of pollution, you know, in urban areas and that sort of thing.
And once this virus is in the system, there's no way of essentially killing it or getting rid of it?
Not at this point. It kind of gets in there. It goes so rapidly, you know, just like that, blink of an eye. And over the span of a few days, it can cause a child to become fairly sick. And then, of course, it runs its course, as with most viruses.
I see. Interesting. So in terms of the medical treatments that have been developed, let's say, over the last 10 years, are there any dramatic changes, or is it still many times just a matter of having an inhaler handy?
No, I think we understand step therapy, you know, so that you have the basic inhaler, and then you step up therapy, you know, it becomes a little more complicated, a little more medication to control the asthma, and then step down as you get better. I think the most exciting thing is the development of biologic agents. You know, so we have now an injection called Xolair for some people with allergic asthma, and they can come in and get an injection once or twice a month that removes the allergy antibodies from their system, and it greatly helps asthma in some people. And there's a whole host of drugs being developed like that.
Now,
it's very exciting.
For those who are not familiar with asthma, what it's like, I mean, what does it feel like? How is it potentially deadly when you have an attack?
Absolutely. 4,000 people a year, somewhere about, die from asthma in America. So that's about 10 or 11 people a day. So clearly it can be fatal. And interestingly enough, the fatalities are spread across people who have mild, moderate, and severe illness. So it's not just people with the worst asthma that die.
And you're saying basically the lung passageways constrict and they remain constricted to the point that someone simply can't breathe and just dies.
Yeah, we know the stories. You know, I've read something recently about a child who was at a fair or something. And, you know, actually it was a young woman in Australia. She was really in the Cayman Islands, but got worse over a couple of days, kept using her inhaler, you know, getting worse, and all of a sudden those lungs are like locked, you know, and nothing helps them. And you're kind of beyond immediate help.
That's scary stuff. Dr. Steve Apolisky, he's the author of the book Beating Asthma, Seven Simple Principles. You can find him online at beatingasthma.com. Stephen, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Michael, thanks for having me, sir. Real pleasure, sir. Thank you.
Absolutely. We will be right back to wrap things up. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.